we've asked the students. So this year, we started off with 5 students, and only 2 graduated at the end. So so it's really a testimony to them, the fact that they've seen it through. I know, you know, with the Bible school, it's hard work. I don't want to lie about it. We'll talk about that later on. But it's amazing to see what God is doing in growing up leaders. So I've asked both of them to just share with us 2 things. What is the subject that they enjoyed most? And it might be that it overlaps at this stage. and what have they learned out of that? So, Juan, you are second. So, unfortunately, you will have to add on whatever revelation he brings. didn't tell me what subjects they're going to choose. So, this morning I heard that both of them enjoyed the same subject. so they'll have to feed on one another.
It's... I'm actually going to, I think I'm going to help you out a little bit here then. So yes, I did first year Bible school. My name is Sifiso, for those who don't know me. The subject that I enjoyed the most was ironically the one that, and not out of sort of order of importance, but I think just in how the course is structured, was the first module that we ever did, which was Healing the Brokenhearted. And... we are doing the same one, and I didn't know why it struck me as deeply as it did, but I think it is because of what I'm going to read to you now, which is part of another module in the first year Bible school series, which is part of the Eternal Church module, Gifts of the Father. So there are a couple of gifts from the Father: gift of prophecy, ministering. Which is serving, gift of teaching, gift of encouragement, gift of giving, gift of leadership, and then the last one is gift of mercy. And so all people in God's body have similar strengths. Some of these gifts overlap in all of us, but we'll have a trait in one of those, I think it's 7 or 8 gifts, that is the strongest. And for me, at the end of the Bible school journey, there's a quiz that you have to take at the end of the book, and the quiz helps you identify which of these traits is your strongest. And the strongest in my life, which I was like, thank you, Lord, you know me best, but I confirm what you know, that it is true, because I know it for myself, because I've lived it, is the gift of mercy. And I just wanted to read to you the description of what that kind of person is, and then tell you why Healing the Brokenhearted was the one that struck me at the beginning of the journey, and I didn't know why, but then at the end of it, it was revealed to me as to why, is because of this. So it says, mercy is a very loving gift. This gift causes people who have it to really empathize and minister mercy to others. Example, the Good Samaritan. The person is also said to be compassion motivated. It means to relate to others in empathy, respect, and honesty. He feels sympathy with the misery of others. To be effective, this gift is to be exercised with kindness and cheerfulness, not as a matter of duty. These people are very sensitive and appear emotional and subjective. Those who have mercy as their motive are quick to help in times of trouble. They enjoy showing mercy and can feel others' pain. They seem to have a built-in radar to detecting people in emotional or mental distress and have a deep desire to remove the hurting things from their lives of others. They can find it difficult to be firm with others unless they can see the reason for it. They feel a great unity with other people who also have a mercy motivation gift and find it difficult to open up to those who they find insensitive. So at the end of the module, when I read all of that, I was like, God, you're so spot on. Look at me. God, of course God is spot on, because yes, that's exactly who I am. So so the reason why the Healing the Brokenhearted made such an impression on me is because in my journey as a Christian, as a son of God, and as an actor, I've always been drawn to a world where there have been I guess a varying color of personalities and people in a space, a kind of tempo to people that is somewhat not destructive, but that is very open and free and out there. And I haven't known why that has been an attractive thing to me. But I realized that as I was going through it, that there was something about, I'm going to read a small portion of scripture, which is from the module, that is from Luke 4, verse 18, which is part of, the first time it comes up is in Isaiah 61, where, you know, it's the year of the Lord, and Jesus speaks of himself as the anointed one. And this, the module is basically the description of it, which also just really drew me closer to it, was to understand and appropriate and facilitate emotional healing. I'm very much someone who loves to sort of walk a road with people, I guess. And emotional healing is something that I wanted to understand in my own family life and in my own experience, just as a child growing up into the man that I am today. But the main thing about the healing the brokenhearted was me learning where healing comes from, and that is from that it is facilitated by the Holy Spirit in a massive way. And in the Spirit, I am encouraged and want to encourage you to really dig into what God has made available to us through the Holy Spirit. I think in many a times we're aware of the Holy Spirit, but we're not necessarily accessing the Holy Spirit's full power. Because when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to leave one who's going to be much better for you, who's going to be much more of an advantage for you. And in this module, it made sense as to understanding and seeing why the Holy Spirit was the one that Jesus left to be the one to help us go, help us along. It's because the main condition of the world is the fact that I was saved because my heart was broken, and that's everyone's story. We're all broken people, and the only physician, the only one who can save, Jehovah Rapha, which is one of the names of God that I learned through this module, which means the Lord our physician, the only one who can heal fully and restore us is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Christ's ministry, this is Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And one other scripture that you all know, I have John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And it was just so evident throughout this entire module that God's sole purpose for himself and for his kingdom is to restore his creation, if that makes sense. Like God is so faithful to restoring his creation. God is so faithful in restoring the purpose of his creation, which is restored whole people can praise the King. Broken whole people who are restored in Christ praise the King. And he wants us to praise him. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to be his and only his and solely his. And so the reason why we as Christians spend our time in the turning and impact weeks and coming to church on Sunday is so that all of those who are also out on the street who have also got the same kind of, or maybe even more, broken conditions that we have, that they may see the King, that they may be healed, and that they may come to a place of actually being able to experience that freedom in Christ. And so there's, I'm not gonna go too much into it because this man is gonna add on to it as well. Let me just say two things about the actual module that I loved. Was the How to Receive Healing module. I mean, chapter in the module, and then Healing by Faith. And those two were just so impressive to me, because it really breaks down how anyone, whenever we're asking God for healing, there are some things that we ourselves have to take ownership of. Whenever we are coming to a place of wanting to be restored, there are some things that we have to be honest with ourselves about, because God can't do anything unless we allow him the access. The Holy Spirit can't move in our hearts and heal us fully unless we allow him to move in our hearts. These are the five little points within healing by faith and what healing by faith means. First things first, when you're wanting healing by faith, is to confess, and that confession will lead to possession. I loved all the way through this book, the Bible school book. There are these little fun taglines: confession for possession. There are little things that just help you remember stuff and encourage you to interact and engage with the word. But mostly it's not just engaging with the word, but engaging with the person of Christ. The second would be to identify with Christ and what Christ has come to do. The third, the great exchange, the death on the cross. Jesus dying on the cross for all of us is probably the greatest exchange of holiness for brokenness that can ever be seen in the world. And that exchange means that we don't necessarily stay in the place of brokenness, but it is by grace that we get sanctified. And so the salvation process is the one that is a full process of both spirit, body, and mind. Of not both, but all three. And then the last two is stirring of the water, and to receive mercy, you must show mercy. There are many other things within the module that I would love to share with you, but my friend and colleague he'll come from it from a different side, but he'll expound on it, so I'm not going to say any more. I want to encourage you. I am going to plug Bible school. I want to encourage you to do it if you've not done it. I want to encourage you to at least ask questions about the word if you are curious about it, because the deadliest thing about a Christian in this day and age is the fact that they do not know the... Let me read you one thing. I'm sorry. My wife said to me this morning, "Are you going to preach?" And I said, "I'm not going to preach." So I'm trying to not preach to you this morning, but I have to read something to you about this module and why it is so important. It's right here at the end. The deadliest thing for us as Christians in not knowing the God that we serve in his word fully and intimately, not asking the questions, not being curious about it, and just being satisfied with the idea of just being saved, is that we don't get to see the richness and the fullness of Christ, which then inspires us to move into the world and have other people see that. So it's not necessarily that God is trying to be a party pooper and say, you know, do things for me. It's for our own benefit, really. The massive, like, glory of God's design is that once we... It's a strange thing, but it's so true. Like, once you do and surrender and like leave the stuff that you think you need, and you do the stuff that God says you should do, he just makes it also just make you full. It makes you happy. It makes you full of everything, and you don't need to want more. But this is the thing that I'm going to read for you about the word. It says, the word of God plays a vital, vitally important role in our self-definition. If you and I do not engage in the word, we will be swayed to and fro by any other doctrine that comes by. We will feel the ground underneath us as an unsteady thing. But it's knowing the word, it is questioning the word, it is asking about God's word that makes that foundation strong, and you won't be moved. Thank you very much for your kind ears. I appreciate you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Afiso. It's a great blessing. Thanks, guys. So Juan is next. Juan, you've seen it through. We're very proud of you.
Okay, morning, church. So out of all of the modules, Safiso and I picked the same one. Fortunately, I'm coming from a little bit of a different angle. This was one of the modules we did right at the beginning. I think it may have actually been the first module. And God started speaking to me about a couple of things then. And as a typical stubborn child, I kicked against it, and I kicked against it, and I kicked against it. And I'm still dealing with it because God keeps bringing it up. And it's something that I just want to share. Please, this is about my journey with God. If you're in a different place, that's fine. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. It's between you and God in terms of where you're at. So one of the items that you can deal with being brokenhearted is escapism. So there's a couple of different forms that escapism can take. But if we kind of go back, when you're a young child, at some stage in your development, you're going to think about imagination and fantasy and maybe an invisible friend or whatever the case may be. Depending on where you're at and what you're going through, this can become more than just the developmental stage that you go through. And it can become a coping mechanism that becomes very difficult to let go of as you grow older and older. So at least for me, there's kind of two ways that this has manifested in my life. One is you start to live in the future. You start to think, you know what? I will be happy when I finish school. I will be happy when I have my own salary, when I get married, when I buy a house, etc., etc. The reality is, yes, those things are great to strive for, but when you're living in that future, often when you get there, it's not quite what you expect, and then you're looking for the next thing that you're chasing. And this can really rob you from living in the now and the here. The other element is the escape in terms of fantasy. And this is something that I personally feel as a society, we're in a dangerous place because things are moving at a pace that we're not really accustomed to, and we don't really understand how it's going to impact us in the long run. And this is Hollywood, whether it's Netflix, Amazon Prime, Sky, BBC, whatever the case may be. It's very easy to come home from work, you've had a long day, and you're like, I just want to chill and watch a series. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I've done that a lot in the past, and I'll probably do it a lot in the future. But it can become a problem. And I would go so far as to admit that I have a TV addiction that I need to deal with and that I need to grapple and figure out what that means for me. Because watching a series, there's nothing wrong with that. But when it starts to become such a thing, where, oh, just one more, just one more, just one more, just one more, the next thing you know, you've neglected the things in your life and you've just been sitting on the couch watching a series. That's when it starts to become a problem. That's where I've been at, because it's very easy to just enjoy that series. The other element is, what are you watching? Because you're feeding yourself information. And Hollywood is exceptionally good at taking an untruth or a complete lie and packaging it in a way that is extremely seductive. And you start to get familiar with it, and you start to become desensitized, and you start to go, well, maybe this isn't that big a deal. But the thing is, if it's contrary to what the Bible says, it is a big deal. Because the Bible is 100% the inspired word of God, and we believe it to be 100% true. Amen. So anything that contradicts it is a challenge. So I'm going to use an example. If you watch the show, please, it's between you and God, what you do. I haven't watched it, so my understanding of the show might even be completely wrong. But there's a show called Lucifer. Mm-hmm. My understanding of it, and I could be wrong, is Satan comes down to earth as a human, and through the journey, he's not as bad as all that. Like, there's a good side to Lucifer. Now, we know because of the Bible, God is completely pure and holy. Lucifer is pure evil. There is no yin-yang. There is no gray area between the two. But this show, I've watched the trailer, and I was so tempted to watch the show after watching the trailer because it looks really interesting. Like, it looks really, really good. But there's a part of me that's going, that's a dangerous road. Now, we could go through millions of different examples. Probably one of the biggest one is premarital sex. It's in pretty much everything that we watch. Even the kiddie-friendly shows have it in there. And Hollywood has desensitized us to the point where it's normal, it's natural, it's okay, it's fine. So this is something that God's dealing with me. It's something that was highlighted through this module. It's something I'm still grappling with and trying to understand. What I would really recommend, but it's up to you, is have a think. How much time are you spending watching whatever it might be? But also, is it something that you can have a conversation with God about? Is this the right thing for me? Is this adding to my life in a good way rather than distracting me? But as I say, this is just my journey. Take it or leave it, your choice. Amen. Cool. Thanks, Ed. Amen.
Thanks, John. Now, for me, two things. A man left to his own devices will always destroy himself. Are you with me? Okay, so the lie that we will by ourselves evolve to become better is a lie that you must put behind you now, and it stay away from it. Okay? The second thing that I want to just mention is that there's a good reason why you are not studying the Word the past. How many years do you live already? 30-ish years. Okay? There's a very good reason why your Bible study is not evolving into a better knowledge of the depth of the Bible in your life. Is that true? Can we just admit that in our lives this morning? Because that's the truth for me. If I don't need to preach on a Sunday, it's very difficult for me to actually go and explore and study the Word of God. I've got a very good reason why I should spend time in the Word of God. And even above that, I must spend devotional time with God and really get to know Him better. My appeal to you this morning is, guys, in order for you to become the disciple that God wants you to be, you need to grow into getting to know God better. And His Word is the best place to start. Because if you don't know the character of the Word of God, and I'm not talking about doing stuff for Him. Okay, I think we're all on the same page this morning. God is saying the past few weeks to us over and over again, you know, I'm not in the doing stuff part. I want you to seek my face. I want you to get to know me more. The only way that you will do so is, yes, spend time, devotional time with Him where you can seek His face. But the easiest way is actually just to spend time in His Word to get to know Him better. Because there's lots of stories. And some people think that it's just stories, as we've heard, you know, of the testimonies that was shared. And if you don't spend time, you know, with God and have a real relationship with Him, those will only be stories. Until you start to make the Word your own. And my appeal to you this morning is, in order, we don't do Bible school because we must become great. Can we just settle that? But because of the fruit that we're going to produce that others will be receiving. We will become better people so that other people will actually have the fruit of our labor. Are you with us? Or with me this morning? You know, it's not selfish at all. Because if it is, we miss the point of why we are doing Bible school. Being a disciple means that we are enjoying the fruit of doing the right things and God being relevant in our lives, but other people will receive that fruit. So I want to encourage you, you know, through the years we've done Bible school, and the same Bible school have produced more than 50 church plants. First year is always just the basic doctrines. Second year is leadership development. And third year is actually church planting, or how do you support a church plant even? How can you be so practical that you actually say, listen, I want to take the gospel to a place where I can bring other people to a place of their fulfillment? Okay, and so third year is the, one of the modules you've seen now, or just a snippet of it, is I know Corne Becker is also one of the teachers, and there's really good stuff in third year Bible school in helping us to actually fulfill the mandate that God has given us. But to get there, you must get to the basics first. Okay, so Jean said this year, you know, was tough. It was really, and it is tough to spend time in getting to know the Word of God and really in depth starting to know the Scriptures. Now, I want to say to you, it's not about, maybe I should rather take this angle. If I would ask you, okay, I'm talking to the Apple lovers now, because I know some of you hate Apple, so please just switch off your mind here if you don't like Apple. But for those who I know is excited always about Apple products, I can ask you now how the new iPhone 11 looks like and the features of it, and you will be able to in detail tell me what's going on you know, on this new iPhone 11, and should you have it or not have it, and even have a lot of arguments in favor or not in favor of, is it a good product or not, okay? Strange how we will prioritize, you know, all kinds of other stuff. I mean, reading dummy books or, you know, enrolling to courses so that we can be better web designers. These days, everyone just develop, you know, web pages just because they can go online and get a course and get to know what how to do it. My challenge to you is we would easily commit ourselves to do things like this so that we will be knowledgeable in the society that we are in, so that you are not stupid whenever you get together with your buddies and they talk about the iPhone 11 and you don't know what's going on. Are you with me? And it's true for so many other subjects. I can take it to football or whatever. Until you make the Word of God a priority in your life where you say, listen, I want to actually, you know, delve into it and have an encounter with God. Because I'm the Bible school is not going to change your life. And the Bible is also not going to change your life until it becomes real. Until it becomes an encounter. And for that, you must prioritize an expectation to have an encounter with God. And so this morning, you can even go through Bible school and you can miss the objective of Bible school. It's all about how do we actually engage into getting to know the person behind the Word of God. Because if that is not your objective, you're missing the point. You know, and I'm telling you, there's nothing as boring as to read the Word of God, and especially those Leviticus, Deuteronomy kind of chapters, you know, where you read those chapters and you think about, you know, is there not a better thing in the world to do? What I can tell you, with all the excitement that's happening all around us these days, there is something beautiful that God is bringing to us, the simplicity of the gospel and His word that will never change. Here's a man that, as many have said, even in the testimony, is not even being Christian. How can you deny that after 2,000 years, this is still a relevant word? And I want to encourage you to go on a journey with us. I know that in the past it was difficult with the live classes to commit every week to come and sit in class and do the subjects. To commit to do it now correspondently. But with review sessions in between. So in a year's time, we make sure to for six times, six Saturdays in a year's time, we ask you to come in and to bring your questions and to talk about the subjects that you've learned. So you watch the correspondence Bible school sessions on your own at home whenever you have time or on the bus or it's not possible on the tube, eh? Yeah. Oh, download, yeah, technological generate, and Wi-Fi is coming to the tube, so you don't have any excuse here. Your excuses are becoming less and less and less, okay? So this morning my appeal is not do it because I'm forcing you to do it, then it's also the wrong motivation. I can't force you to do anything, but I want to see you carry the fruit of what the Bible produces. And you know, I want to encourage you to make it a priority in your life as a upcoming leader as well. Because all of us are leaders in the kingdom of God. You know, it's not, are you a leader or not? All of us are leaders because you've got the truth that a lot of people don't have. And the more of that truth you embrace, the more you have to give to people around you. So please, guys, enroll the Bible school. We will have an introduction session next Saturday? Not the Saturday after that. 2 weeks time now, from now. Saturday, the 5th? We will have an introduction session where we will explain how it works and, you know, show you guys some of the ins and outs of the Bible school. Come and even if it's just coming to see what it's about, come and join us on that Saturday and enroll this year in Bible school. So we're going to just show a last clip before we do the graduation. since very young, we had this thing in school where you study the Bible and you have competitions against other schools and how well you know the Bible. And they did all the numbers, who was that guy's son and how many generation was it. And I was quite good at it. So I went in Bible school, I did one and two because I had an issue with Shofar and I wanted to prove them wrong. And then I couldn't prove them wrong and I actually fell in love more with the Bible. And then when three came along, I attended every session. Every single session I was angry with God. It was a difficult place in my life. And every single time I was looking at people, I'm like, why aren't they getting us? Why are they so stupid? I didn't have mercy. Like, the brokenhearted was my least favorite one. mercy was not a thing for me. And then every single session I went there and God used all those things that I had learned previously. And he just said, well, you know this thing, but you don't know me in this. And every single time, every single session, he unlocked a bit of himself with what they were teaching. And I left there every time being like, yes, I'm a horrible person. Sorry, God. Sorry for all those people that I treated so poorly. And now I'm still not where I should be with mercy, but I can, my approach to people with, previously I would have said, oh, well, that's just a horrible person. I'm not even going to waste time with that. But now God is saying, listen, no. Spend time with them, love them, and maybe sometime, somewhere along the line, I'll invite you into their lives and you can make a difference. And that's a great privilege to have. So Bible school is the, every single time you do a course in Shofar, it seems like someone's saying, yes, this is the thing that transformed my life. And I can promise you, like Arkeli said now, there's no real thing that can transform your life. It's only God that can do that. But this is a great tool for you to see the God behind the thing that you're reading. And you can have that opportunity for him to say, listen, this is great, but see me behind it. And he will transform your heart. He will transform your mind. And he will even make a cynic like me actually love people. So do it if you can.
Thanks, Andre. It's the reflection of the word gives us a clear understanding of where we are at and our wives. Then I want to just quickly have us look at the clip. Can we just put up the lights, please? And then we're going to do the handing out of the certificates.